Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah!
Woo!
We are back! Gifts for everyone this week. Here's a gift, and here's a gift. There's a gift over there. The Gift, episode 7 of season 5. Welcome back, everybody, to your Game of Thrones After Buzz TV after show. My name's Kyle Manick. I'm going to be your host today. To my left, I have the Sand Snake, Kristen Snyder.
Hey, guys.
There we go. I have the fantastic Sarah Stratton.
Hello, hello.
There you go. And the awesome Autumn Chiklis.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
And then there's Ryan Malley over there.
Hey, where? How's it going?
Nice.
Game of Thrones. Let's do it.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. Here we are. A much happier ending, I think, for a lot of people than last week. So we are back. How'd you feel about this episode, everybody? General comments? Feelings?
Well, I have a few things to say. Number one, I was like, oh, this is now going to be so easy to organize this week because the theme is so apparent from the title, The Gift. Second of all, in like the 2 seconds we go from watching this to coming to this room, someone asked me what I thought, and I was like, and I realized that I had that stutter because I feel like a lot of really big things happened in scenes, but that wasn't what I took away. The scene that I took away most is the scene that the like least amount of actual like plot action happened.
Oh,
like we
which
saw
scene?
People die, we saw people put in boobs in jail?
Oh. Yeah. Best scene of the episode.
That is the scene. All of the people we dealt with today, we went through so many characters, so many locations.
Yeah.
That is the scene that's in my head.
Nice.
I don't blame you. It was totally gratuitous, but kind of awesome. General thoughts on this episode, I loved it because, like Sarah said, we saw a lot of movement and a lot of chess pieces being moved around, and I was personally really, I was really thrilled with it because now a lot, not only did a lot happen, but so much is set up that's going to tumble in the next coming episodes. I'm so excited.
It's getting
to that point of the season, you know?
Absolutely.
Where things just start falling systematically like dominoes.
Ooh, I love it. So let's start off this week at the Wall. We have a lot of, I feel like we have a lot of places to get to. It felt like there was a lot going on in this one. But the Gift to Tormund Giantsbane, I guess we can go, of freedom. So there we go.
And yeah, that was a good gift.
Yeah.
And did you guys think at all that maybe when they freed him, he would have like attacked anyone? Were you guys fearful of that at all?
To me, they hadn't really put that in. I thought there was maybe a split second where they like stayed on his like medium for a second long, but I never really felt that that was going to happen.
Right.
I didn't think that that would have been justified if it did, because he has so much to gain. Like, he was trapped in a cell, and for a wildling, that's the worst thing you could have.
Yeah.
So I was like, he is in a good position. They're trying to bring him back to his people where he has full control of the situation. He's gotten everything he wants. Like, he's getting Jon Snow to come with him. Like, there's no part of him that's losing. So if they had made the decision for him to fight, I would have been like, oh,
I agree with that.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I completely agree. And even just from a writing standpoint, dramatically, because it was one of the first things that we saw and the tone that they set it at, it would have come out of left field for me if all of a sudden he had attacked and had made any success, because that would have been such a huge plot point.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to happen so early in the show, normally, like, if that exact scene had happened maybe like 3/4 through the show, I may have felt differently. But because it was right out of the gate, call me, you know, brainwashed by the traditional way of dramatic writing, I was like, all right, nothing's going to happen just yet.
Yeah.
We did have the voice of reason, oddly enough, Alistair Thorne, I thought, a little bit. Give John
You thought that was good advice?
I'm like, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. I don't know.
Kind of disrespectful
to brothers that have died in the past, or
I feel no. I feel like that was bad advice. I feel like John should absolutely go with Tormund. I mean, for one, he needs more friends, because clearly the men at the Night's Watch, they don't respect him anymore, and they're not on his side. So if anything, I feel like he's going to come back and he's going to need friends with him to sort of win back the wall.
I am so confused on Alistair Thorne right now. Mm. He, to me, seems like... I feel like I'm going to watch this episode back at the end of the season, and then his lines are going to make sense. Because right now, I can't tell what's a threat, what's a warning.
Yeah, I'm not
really sure if when John showed him that olive branch of making him First Ranger, if that made him switch a little more. Because there was, like, gleams in his eyes when, like, when his old partner in crime, like, was, like, got his head chopped off. He didn't stand up for him. And so I kind of felt like he switched sides. But it's still at that point where I'm like, he could be manipulating the situation. But I don't really know. It's definitely... But that's fun. That's what's fun about this show, is how sometimes later in the season, you get to learn a lot more. Like, you, that's what makes this show rewatchable. That's why before I get to come in and watch this every spring, I get to go back and be like, oh, these things make so much more sense now.
One thing that actually really worried me in that whole sequence was the emphasis on Ollie. They showed him not once, but twice, which doesn't seem like much in that. But in that short period of time, you don't do that without a specific reason. At first, you had the shot on him, like, not a close-up, but, like, mid, just kind of staring at John, kind of, not menacingly, but he's not pleased. And then through the second time was through the fire, which there was a big candle flame kind of motif throughout this. There was a use of flame as kind of transition a lot. I'm not sure what to make of that yet, but I thought that was interesting. But yeah, they showed Ollie twice in a way that was very kind of ominous.
Last time they did that with him, he killed Ygritte, so.
Yeah.
we've been seeing Ollie-like shots for most of this season, so.
Leading up to, yeah, they keep showing him left and right.
That's not good.
It's kind of annoying.
We'll see.
You know what annoys me? What bothers me is no one's acknowledging how the Wildlings are, what, 100,000 strong? And the Night's Watch are, what, 100 strong, maybe? I mean, there seems to be this huge gap of numbers that the Night's Watch aren't acknowledging.
But the thing is, yes, they do have the numbers, but that only comes into play if they get through the wall. So that's why I think people have such an issue with John giving them passage. Because right now, even though they have those numbers, they're still not as much of a threat, because we saw them stop the giants from getting through the tunnel. We saw them hold down this fort before. Yeah. The bigger question is, once they get through, what are they going to do? Also, like, Stannis isn't that far away that if they needed him, I think he could come back.
He's only going forward.
He's definitely not coming back.
There's no help behind.
Guys, let's talk about my favorite Maester Aemon, here for a little bit.
I'm so sad.
We all kind of knew this was coming. I mean, the oldest man in the world, pretty much. He's done. He's gone.
I'm surprised, because they were focusing on him so much this season, and sort of he was talking about, like, his lineage and, you know, the fact that he's a Targaryen. But I don't understand his end, really. I mean, just the fact that he was old and he died, like, I feel like they normally give people a purpose for dying in the show, not just old age. So I don't know. What did you guys take away from that?
See, that to me was the interesting part, was especially because his last line was about he dreamed that he got old. And to me, it was said with a joy. And that's because that is surprising in this world.
That's a great point.
Yeah. For all the people who battle to win and to own... to get to the throne and to come out on top, he's the only one of the only people who ever makes it all the way to his natural end.
Absolutely.
And you can tell just by looking during his funeral, it's all young men, save Alistair Thorne, but it's all just young men in the Night's Watch. You see that nobody really lives out a full life up there.
Well, yeah, in most places, honestly, when you think of the amount of elderly, and there are a number of them, but most of them are not in any kind of higher up position, because they're not threats. The biggest issue, if you are in any kind of form of power, or if you're related to powerful people, you are an immediate target, obviously. So the fact that he's a Targaryen, he's been living as a maester at the wall, obviously, that kind of, but the, he it seems like he should have died at some point from something other than old age. So it is kind of a triumph that he was able to live out his life to that point.
Natural life, yeah.
And good for him.
And we got to see him embracing joy. He's talking about, like, the laughter of the baby, and he's going out in this, like, peaceful way.
He keeps talking about egg.
We've seen him, we've seen this character have guilt and remorse and talk about how he left the throne and whether, and, like, how he couldn't go back and save his family. So he's battled his own demons being at the wall. However, what we ended with him was, to me, a sense of joy, of things coming full circle, of this uniqueness that he has gotten to such an old age. And I thought it was just supposed to be a counterpoint to all these people who were fighting tooth and nail and die very young.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm.
What about, hold on, sorry, get him to the south before it's too late. Mm. To Gilly.
Oh, yes, get him to the south. Gillyflower.
Yes, Gillyflower.
He is the only advice that I would trust right now. So, I mean, he's the oldest. He's probably been around for a winter.
So they're talking about
the
baby. Get the baby to the south?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm taking?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
We'll see.
Or the new baby in her.
Whoa, dun, dun, dun. Yeah, Sam.
I love it.
Oh, boy.
I love how Sam's the only man of the Night's Watch getting any.
He broke a vow, though.
No, technically, Sam pointed out that you shall take no wives,
you're
shall father no children.
You're so right.
But being a freak in the sheets is okay by the code of the Night's Watch.
You're so right. I forgot about that. Forgive me. Thank you.
Yeah, we have Sam defending her honor. And but actually, before we go on to that, I think we want to show you something. ABC's Whispers.
Yes, it's a new show coming out. Do you guys know about it?
Yeah, actually, I've been hearing about it a lot, and we have something queued up for it, right? That we want to show everyone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hit it.
So Harper has a new friend. He's what you might call imaginary.
Monday, June 1st. What if a child's imaginary friend wasn't imaginary?
Grown-ups can't see him.
The can't-miss drama of the summer.
I think this friend is real.
Told you, Mommy.
Arrives.
I don't think we're dealing with him. I think we're dealing with a what?
The Whispers. Series premiere Monday, June 1st on ABC.
Wait, what is the show about?
Ooh, that sounds haunting.
I actually hadn't heard about this. Yeah, but I was like, oh gosh, I'm such a scaredy cat of horror films, which is weird because I love gore, obviously, because I watch Game of Thrones.
But obviously.
I feel like that's an obvious connection. What you said you've been excited about Whispers?
No, I don't know too much about it. I've just been seeing
Yeah, I've been seeing all the advertisements for it, but I guess it premieres June 1st, so if the Whispers don't intrigue you enough.
Sounds good to me. I'm always hankering for a good new show.
Check it out.
Nice. So talking about gore, we have Sam getting a little bloodied up in this scene where he's defending Gilly's honor.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah, that was really hard to watch. And I'm sorry, but I was a little disappointed in Sam. Like, come on. I mean, I think he just didn't really want to hurt his brothers. I don't know that he was fully trying.
He's
what did you guys say?
He's not a fighter.
I don't
like,
think
that's,
so.
You know,
you think he really was trying?
He can't be an amazing hero all of a sudden.
He also can't. I mean, come on. If he's not really trying, he's literally putting his life on the line by what he was doing. And Gilly pointed that out.
Yep.
I think he had every... He didn't want to hurt them, but I think he had every intention of defending her, which is why I don't think he's bluffing. I don't think you come in with a bluff going, I know that they could probably kill me and there's nothing. I just don't think that that's the case. And I think he did try. He's not a fighter.
The thing I think about him, though, is when it comes down to it, like, he did get back up. And I think that if it would have continued, I think he would have died defending her. And I think he may have beaten them. Just because I feel like when you get in that situation... when you get in that situation, like, what are they standing for? So they can rape her and he's standing for to defend her. So I don't know,
but this is Game of Thrones. This isn't Puppy Dogs and Rainbows.
I feel like if it comes down to it, he will defend her. And I think we'll see this repeat.
He will.
But I think he'll win. Like, I don't think... Seriously.
Kristen's believing in, you know, that adrenaline strength.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Lifting the cars.
Like
I was going to mention that,
Where all of a sudden Sam's just going to have one person in each arm and throwing them in circles.
Because I don't think he wants to fight, but I think when he needs to and it comes time, he's going to stand up and he's going to win.
I think that if he wins, he's going to need the help of someone else.
Like Ghost.
Well, yeah,
there
absolutely.
We found out where Ghost is.
Absolutely,
I
but... There's no way that... I don't think the because adrenaline kicks in two ways. It's not just like the person who has the right is standing behind the right cause is the person who the adrenaline affects more.
I stand behind Sam.
I do too. I love him. I think he's
and
a
his
darling.
Swing.
Awesome.
But I think that
knows,
you have something to
say. Well, he knows when to run. I mean, he's gotten lucky. He killed a Fen, okay, with a crossbow, right?
Oh,
and he killed a White Walker with a dagger. He didn't really realize it would do anything. So he gets lucky, and he knows when to fight and when to flight. And so I think if in the future he gets out of trouble, it's because he's running.
I think his instincts, though, are very smart, and that's what will protect him in the end.
I think what we learn from this show is that people win when they learn to embrace their own power.
Yes.
And then sometimes once we see them conquer that power, we do get to see them expand. But in my opinion, Sam as a character hasn't actually fully reached his potential for what we know he's good at. For instance, we know he is smart. We know he is the educated person who has found this dragon glass, which we got the reminder of today. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't, like, really embraced the knowledge and been able to spread it and share it. And that is his power.
Nice.
We've seen him share it with John and be able to impart his wisdom on him. But once we get to the point that Sam is able to do some sort of leadership in the Night's Watch through that avenue, then maybe we'll spread to the more physical strength.
Yeah.
But until he can actually own what he's already innately good at, he won't expand.
Yeah.
You see that with every character.
He reminds me of Tyrion, though, in that he's resourceful and he's smart in battle. Not that he's the strongest, not that he's the best swordsmith, but that he would be smart and he would.
There we go.
I agree.
And I would love to keep talking about this, but we got a lot to go. So let's move on in this one to Winterfell. Let's stay up in the north, and we have Theon and Sansa.
Oh, God.
After last week, this stuff is all going to be really hard.
We definitely didn't get to talk about it enough last week because of time, but that was awful, and it haunted me all week. And then to see her, the first scene with all of the bruises.
You're finding out it's been happening
consistently.
More and more.
I am so sick.
But we have this scene where she is trying to get Theon to realize who he is and help her and promise to help her. Mm-hmm. And there's the promise me line for book readers. That was kind of eerily similar. But she wants Theon to put the candle in the tower, and he sort of gives her this promise. And I know we were all sitting there thinking, this is too easy. It seemed like he was going to do it, but and then we find out he doesn't do it later on. How'd you feel about all this?
I feel like, yes, it was too easy for this scene, but I think that she's going to continue to shake him, continue to try to help him find who he used to be.
Agreed.
And I think eventually he will come to her aid.
I completely agree. I think that eventually, if she won't get through to him, she's definitely going to keep trying, but something will get through to him to a certain extent. And she even asks him, what did they do to you, or what did he do to you, and he won't say anything. And I think that once you get past certain triggers and certain undeniable truths, then it's going to start to jar some things in his memory and kind of bring him back. But for right now, I think it would have been too easy for him to acquiesce to her wishes when we know how frickin' brainwashed he is at this point.
Yeah.
The problem is, I felt like today was the, I'm going to try and plead with you and get on your good, like, and embark on you that you are this person, and almost like this, like, if you could do this, there could be some forgiveness. But there are other strategies to get what you want, and we saw her pick up what looked like some sort of weapon today.
Right, like a bottle opener or something it looked like?
It was just something that looked dangerous. And I was like, is this the new thread for Sansa? Are we not going to be trying such nice, like, this is your name methods? Instead, are we going to go, I can torture you too?
Yeah, all I was thinking was, like, there's going to be a bedroom scene where she goes all Gone Girl on Ramsay and just takes that corkscrew to his throat. Which I can only hope. I can only hope.
What's up, Ryan?
That doesn't happen in Gone Girl. It's not like that. But I'm just, you guys, people who have seen Gone Girl, they know what I'm saying.
Okay.
But we find out that Sansa's help has been skinned alive. The woman that kept coming to his chamber.
That was awful.
And wanted to help her. Rika's told, and Ramsay tortures her and kills her, and we have that gone. We have that hope. That shred of hope is also
disappeared. It's not gone. The old woman protected the name. She protected the source of help,
which we still don't know what it is. I mean, it could be Brienne.
We're led to think
it's Brienne. Brienne was looking at the window.
Right. She was staring at the tower.
Yeah.
So that seemed to be the connecting thread.
I just want to know how they would get that. Get messages back and forth. There doesn't seem to be anybody really going in and out of the castle that would side with Sansa.
I know. I think that Brienne's going to charge forward and help out whether she gets the candle sign or not. She's not really one who sits back and waits.
But Sansa does get her jabs in with the bastard talk and the son and the brother that's coming. And there's a whole host of little information and jibes here and there.
Yeah.
Where Ramsay tells her that Jon is Lord Commander, which she didn't know. A bunch of little information here and there.
I don't know. I'm getting a lot of feedback from everyone in the live chat. People still have some kind of affection for Theon, whoever's still in there, but they hate Reek. You know,
it's kind of a
split. Well, Theon's kind of like the personality that's very deep in suffering.
Yeah,
as he said, it can always be worse. But everyone's kind of questioning Sansa's tactics. I mean, we've been talking for the past few weeks about how Sansa's kind of coming into a new light and being able to use the game and manipulate. I don't think she's doing a very good job. I mean, she tried to get, you know, Theon to help her, but recklessly. And now she's taking jabs at her husband. Ramsay was a very dangerous man. In my opinion, she should be seducing him. She should be, you know, securing her spot and
the
safety.
The Margaery way.
And yeah, exactly, using the Margaery tactics. Using the tactics that a woman has been given, you know, naturally, in order to manipulate the situation. I mean, it's true, though, in this world.
What?
She's taking cheap shots and kind of pissing this guy off, when, in reality, if she's learning how to play the game properly, she should be doing it with more strategy.
To her defense, though. I don't think she anticipated what is happening to her. I think she is playing the game to a certain extent, but when you undergo this kind of psychological trauma, you're not... It's still very early in their relationship and in their marriage. I think that there are a few things going on. I think that, one, we've seen her develop a spine. That's for certain. I mean, if she didn't have a spine, she wouldn't speak to him the way that she did about bastards and grab whatever weapon that it was that she had. She's taking jabs in a way where before she was always completely going away and completely...
isolating herself?
Not isolating, just... I mean, I don't know why I love the word acquiesce right now, but you know what I mean? Where she would always kind of say, okay, she was a mouse. And that's what so many people had problems with. But now we see that she is standing up for herself and trying at least to move forward. But she's been put in a situation that's very, very difficult. She is with, yet again, another psychopath. And she has no friends there. And she tried to get to her friends, but then she saw a woman skinned alive. And obviously that traumatized her when he kissed her and she was like, I can't even be with you right now.
I feel like if she was to seduce him, though, they would smell a rat because they know she's not happy to be in the position she is. So if she was all bubbly or seducing him, I feel like that would actually not work for her strategy-wise because I feel like they would know that's not the Sansa. Like, she's obviously has a plan. But I think by her actually doing these small jabs, I think she has a plan. Especially, she has a plan. We saw her grab that weapon, so hopefully she'll be taking some physical jabs
soon.
That is
not a sign of a woman who has a plan. It's a sign of a woman who's scared and might do something impulsive and get herself killed.
But she's gathering information. She might get herself killed, because anyone in this show can get themselves killed. But she's gathering information. She is at least, she's aware enough to pick up the conversations that are happening around her, to know what rubs Ramsay the wrong way, what his fear is.
That's true.
She's picking up on these things really quickly. I do think she has a plan. I understand that maybe seducing him could be a strategy. I'm glad they're not embarking on that. Also, like, we're going to get to Cersei, but this is a woman who we've seen kind of avoid sexual strategy for the most part for 5 seasons, and up until recently has done very well. Margaery definitely uses her sexuality, and we get little glimpses of it here and there, but they also do give us a lot of women who use other avenues. Queen of Thorns. We don't see her getting too sexy with anyone lately, and she also has done very well throughout. out what we can tell is her lifespan. Well, that's how she started, was through seducing
her husband. Did do that. quite a topic, and something that's been the topic of discussion this entire past week since the episode, and it's something we could certainly discuss for the rest of the show. We don't... I think Sansa, like us, is figuring out who she is. We are trying to figure out who Sansa is. She's trying to figure out, too, because for most of her life, she has just been pushed around. She's been the pawn of different people.
Yeah.
And while she grows a spine, she doesn't grow a spine, this and that. Is she weak? Is she strong? She's trying to find herself and what she's going to do in this situation, just like we are waiting to see what she does in this situation or what happens to her, because sometimes people in these situations don't become a stronger person, unfortunately enough. There are lots of people who remain weak and need help from others or don't, and it's just a very awful thing that has happened to her, and how she's going to get out of that is going to be interesting to see, because hopefully there is some sort of good ending to this story.
Also, I'd like to point out, I think that she might feel a level of protection to a certain extent, maybe not 100% physically, but with her life, I don't think that up until now she was too worried about the state of her life, or at least not immediately, because their marriage was a strategic move, and she knows that there's a reason she married him, and it wasn't just for, you know, shiggles.
He can't just kill her.
Yeah, he can't just kill her.
They need her.
And so I think that she feels a level of protection somewhere, or at least up until this moment, has, where she feels like he can beat me, he can psychologically torment me, but he can't kill me yet. So I think that that's the reason she's been able to be a little gutsy, is because she has that understanding of, all right, you can fuck with me, but you can't kill me yet. And I think right now she might be a little freaked out by the skinning, but, you know, as one would be, I think.
As one would be. So let's go to some possible potential help coming her way, and in the form of Stannis, who is being hindered quite a bit by this new snowstorm. And upon the advice of Davos, they should turn around and go back to Castle Black.
But he says nay.
He says no. All upon the advice of Melisandre.
Yeah. This was one of the first pieces of advice from Davos that I also was like, no, that's a bad idea. Like, he was like, to me, Stannis' argument back, like, we don't know how long this winter will last. They're not going to get more resources, really, from the wall. We've learned that the wall cannot support all of these men. Yeah. So they do need to keep moving. And it was the first time I was like, Davos, he's right. You can't go back there for years on end. You kind of are stuck. Unless you're going to go all the way home, you can't just hide in the wall.
I think either way, though, is defeat, and he possibly saw their life being longer going backwards.
Yeah, because then they just sit there and you twiddle your thumbs for years, because we obviously know winters can last years and years and years, or be really short. We don't know in this world. I didn't agree with him either. Go, fight. Let's get some action in this season. We need something. Come on. But what do you guys think about Melisandre needing Shireen's blood?
We predicted this, I think. Yeah. We talked about this and saying, you know, there's only one person on that trip with the blood of the king, and that's the daughter. And it was very interesting to watch. I'm scared. I'm upset. Because, you know, he said no. He said, are you out of your mind? But I don't know, they lingered on him too long in that thought process. It did not seem as definitive as it needed to put me to sleep at night soundly. You know what I mean?
He was in that, he wants to win so bad. We just saw that from his conversation with Davos.
Right, of course, but oh my God,
at what
cost?
And then his daughter's life on the line.
That is the question, though. Is it her life? What is the cost? Right. We mentioned not being able to use leeches. Obviously, Melisandre, as far as I know, can't impregnate his daughter, which is... Her other strategy has been in the past. So my question is, what is that line? Like, we've not flat out heard that we have to see Shireen die. Well, we just know that there's something in her blood.
I think that's what we're supposed to gather by leeches will not work, is that she will have to die. We'll have to... cut her and bleed her out.
I don't know. I feel like it's like that Pirates of the Caribbean when he's like, how much blood do you need?
Just a little bit.
Here's what I kind of feel like. I feel like his wife has always not really cared for her daughter, and I feel like the wife may team up with Melisandre, and they would be holding Stannis against his will while Shireen would be burned or whatever.
Ryan, is that what they're saying?
What an awful
thing. Well, I did ask the group chat, the live group chat, by the way. Come to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV if you'd like to join the chat during the live show. I asked, will Stannis sacrifice his daughter? Because that's the question, right? I saw a left says yes. TNT Bandit says no. Theodric says no way. Ahmed said yes. So people are really torn, you know. Yes, no, I don't think he will. That's crazy, but will Solis? He won't. Yeah. He loves it too much. You know, so everyone's really split and on the fence. I think you're right with that mm-hmm. prediction, because I was actually proud of Stannis' reaction.
Yeah.
I don't think he hesitated. I think he was just appalled by the notion of it and told her to leave. I was really proud of him for that.
So. He did not hesitate. I was talking about after once she left that they lingered on him a little too long, which always scares me. But I think that you're probably more right, because earlier in the season we had his whole speech about how he would not stop once she was infected to save her, and how he made the whole I love you speech that was so, so touching. And that wasn't gratuitous. There was a reason that they did that, and I think it was just to give us a little slice of just how much he loves his daughter. And I I just can't imagine him giving that up, especially once they've set that up. You know what I mean?
He went to such lengths to save her in the past.
Exactly.
Why they just turn around and...
Yeah, but they did have that weird bonding scene with Melisandre and her mother, so I feel like they're preparing us for that team up.
Oh, yeah, man. I don't disagree.
I'm just thinking about Selyse's test tube babies in a jar and how creepy she is. She's a mess. So I think we can move on down to Dorne and Jaime and Marcella having a little conversation here, where she wants to stay and he wants to take her away. And what is the plan here? What is going on?
I don't think there's a plan.
Yeah, no, this is so weird. I don't know what to think about all this.
Well, Jaime's like, I'm taking you home. I'm not sure how, because everyone knows I'm here now, and they're not going to let me take you, but I'm going to take you home. What?
Yeah, like, what is right? They are messing up Dorne. I'm sorry, I'm in the show. I don't know what's happening anymore.
Sorry, before we get too into that, just that scene was awesome.
I believe, talking about the jail scene.
Oh, we're talking about Bronn.
We'll get to that.
This is just really.
How about Marcella first?
About.
Any thoughts on Marcella, Ryan?
You know, I just think it's a shame that she doesn't know that Jaime's her father. It's just kind of.
He see him wanting to say it, almost, but he's like, I can't. Like, she doesn't care about me at all. And this is my daughter.
What am I even doing here?
Well, the other thing is she in more danger there than she would be in King's Landing? I mean, look what's happening in King's Landing right now. I feel like she's probably more protected in Dorne at this point.
Seriously. Yeah. And she had the little, like, she doesn't know that it's her father, but it was the daddy, I love him, I can't. You can't make me. It was a little...
Yeah. Hi. But then we go to Ryan's favorite scene of the episode. Bronn and the sand snakes down in the prison. And as I mentioned last week, I said Jaime and I meant Bronn. Sorry, I misspoke last week. But Bronn got sliced with a sword in the weird fight scene last week. And now he is, in fact, poisoned. And then he instantly gets the cure.
I am so confused why the sand snakes... would give him the cure.
I don't trust it. Not for a second. I mean, there's no... like I said, it's either...
I liked it.
Oh, okay.
But it's either so gratuitous and so unnecessary that they sliced him and then gave him the cure back immediately, unless it's going to come back in some way.
Yeah, was it really a cure, or was it something? Sarah, you want to say something.
Let's hear it. I really like Bronn.
I love Bronn.
And I want him to be happy. And, like, part of me was like, oh, him and the Sand Snake girl would be a great couple.
That would be great.
Let's make her save him. So I really enjoyed it. I thought that this whole scene was so entertaining to watch, from the singing to the boobs.
Yeah, we got the end of the Dornishman's wife song
it was the gift she gave him, the gift of life back. Yeah. This like little blue pebble in a very, very dark bleak scene. And then it was like instantaneous. It was how we get out of every situation. And I thought that they built up his death really well, that I thought he was going to die. I thought we were going to lose him, and that his ending note was going to be that song and him kind of giving in, because we've seen Bronn always have this like attraction to women. And I thought it was a really almost like sad but fitting end for him. And then he made it out on some whim. And it was really.
But why do they save him? What did they get out of it?
They're gonna find true love.
so you're shipping the two of them. Okay.
Sand,
Bronn. Some people are questioning whether or not it was antidote at all.
Yeah.
Or if
it's something worse. I mean, that's fair. To be honest, I was watching the scene and I was thinking, all right, so Bronn is, he's flirting with, oh yeah, I don't hurt girls. Like, yeah, you do. He's mentioned multiple times how he's killed women and, you know, she swung an axe at me, you know? So I think that he's just flirting. He's got nothing better to do. He's in the cell. These girls, they're flirting back.
Yeah.
And I think they're both in a precarious position where they're in trouble for something they did. And it's probably best to kind of be temporary allies. To see what comes next.
Yeah, but what? I don't know where they're going.
Also,
with this.
We don't know why they're in jail. We know why they're in jail. We don't know if there's going to be a trial if certain people are sentenced to death. If it would make it worse for the Sand Snakes to their cell companion to die. We got to see Jamie, but we didn't get to see Illyria. There's people. Yep. I was kind of upset that we didn't get that conversation. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to see all of the masterminds and people in charge start talking, but I'll sacrifice that movement forward for the scene we got.
Okay. It was pretty entertaining.
There we go. So let's move on from that to Daenerys. She has a short little scene by herself. She shows up a little later, but right here she is in bed with Dario, who's showing a little jealousy about her newfound husband.
Can I say that you guys know she's my spirit animal? I love her. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice to see her. Don't you laugh at me. It was so nice. It was so nice for me to see. Because over the really this whole season, it's been kind of one note for her. And I've been wanting to see season one Dany back with there was a twinkle. And an excitement and like a girlishness that we have not seen for a while, understandably. Mm-hmm. Shit's been hard for her recently. But that just at the beginning of that scene, there was something so light about her in a way that we haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And it made me very happy, considering, you know. Do you hate her?
I love her.
Okay.
I love her. That's why I like her. I was like, I also like it, but I don't like her and him.
Oh, that is fair. I'm just talking about
Dario. Oh yeah, no, Daenerys. I love her and Dario. I understood why she was attracted to him, especially when they like built him up. Where we got the scenes, like we got the bath scene where he like came in and she just stood right up. We have when he fought for her honor in front of the Masters and did the one-on-one battle. I understood the attraction. To me, it's just kind of fallen away, and I don't really feel like they're in love. And then in these scenes when we're talking about them actually wanting to get married. I just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't either, it seems like. And also, I just feel like any good leader needs a supporter by their side. So if anything, that's what he is right now. Someone mm-hmm. to kind of be there for her so she's not alone in her chamber at night, you know, questioning what she's doing.
And like Autumn said, this is bringing out a different side of her.
The last time we saw her like this at all was with Cal. Mm-hmm. And it's been a few seasons since that was a thing. And obviously with Jorah, even though she confided in him and trusted him implicitly, there wasn't that extra element. So it was nice to see a girlishness to her, which might not necessarily be great as a leader, but as a human being, which, you know, I care for, it was nice to see. And also, I'm not sure I trust him in this situation.
I really don't know that I trust him.
I kind of don't, which makes me sad. But as a
never trust a jealous man.
Can you write that on a shirt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that going along with what you're saying on him, I think that he is going to slay those masters at some point in time, like he suggests to her to do. Either you're the butcher or you're the meat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously something he really believes. But I like what he said about you're the only one not free in Meereen, because as a queen, I don't think she can just make her free choices as she pleases. There's a lot of other people and thought that goes into each of those choices.
Yeah, and she said that. She says, I can't make my own decision. Even if I wanted to marry you, I couldn't. So very it's nice to see that she's a...
You know who else is not free? Jorah and Tyrion. They are being sold. They are on the block. And I like the lies that the salesman tells Mr. Echo there.
Oh, yeah. He killed
Drogo in single combat, and he mentioned he was the first through the wall at Pike with his flaming sword, which is a reference to Dondarrion's friend, the drunk dude. They helped Sansa a couple seasons ago. Thoros of Myr, excuse me. That's actually what he did. And so he's just rambling off these random things. But he gets sold. They buy it. They love it. They eat it up. They get sold. And then we get this cool scene from Tyrion, which we all like.
Like, have it in huge. Like, beat him, Tyrion. Beat him down.
That guy knows how to sell himself in every situation. I mean, it always comes down to politics, and he knows how to sell himself.
He does.
I love him. I loved to see him kick literal ass. I was thrilled with him.
So then they go down to the fighting pits, and they're going to do this little tiny fight, but somebody shows up, the queen, and it kind of changes things a bit. Jorah runs out, and he shows himself. What did you think was going to happen in this? Was he going to reveal himself? I thought he was going to be like a mystery knight sort of thing. And they were going to have to bring him to the capital.
He definitely should have played the mystery a little longer.
I was totally wrong. I thought I knew it was happening in this scene. I thought he was, like, gonna get trapped and, like, be full of regret that he missed his chance. Like, when they saw the original set of fighters out there in the dirt, I thought that we were gonna see Jorah, like, try and join them and not be able to. So it was a turn for me, for he got out there so quickly, and now we already have all these characters together, and I thought that was coming in another, like, two episodes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But it's fun to get there, and especially how also Tyrion escaped with the random
hero. Guard. Yeah, who was that
team
guy?
That guy. I am team that guy.
I'm thinking he's like a faceless man or something.
Who knows? Kind of going off of that, I actually did think, okay, I didn't think he was going to fight. I thought he was just going to run out to her, basically, which would be kind of wimpy and less exciting. Mm-hmm. But I did not think he was going to try to be faceless, because there's Tyrion in there. And ultimately, I think his main objective... Well, there are a few objectives, actually, with her, because of feelings and all that fun stuff. But because his main goal is to get Tyrion to her, I think the only way that he can do that is saying, listen, it's me, and I brought a gift.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what he does. It's just he happened to, you know, beat the hell out of a few guys in the process.
He beat him up, though. He didn't kill him. It was like Batman.
Yeah,
style.
Yeah, he didn't kill him.
Like, awesome.
He just knocked them all out, and Daenerys is kind of like, sweet. All right.
Yeah, she liked that.
He's not killing him. Which was great. And I love that scene. I'm sorry. I'm a huge Gladiator fan.
Me too.
I haven't seen anything like close to that since that movie. It was great.
That was awesome.
I wanted him to take his mask off. Like, I'm Jorah
Mormont of Bear Island, of the Westeros, of blah, blah, blah.
The lord who became a slave.
But she obviously got... Or he obviously got Daenerys' attention by not killing the men, because she was so appalled by that aspect of the fighting pits. Which, by the way, did you guys think the fighting pits were going to be like this bigger, more extravagant thing?
No, this was a preliminary.
They were talking about the
fighting pit in the slums and how the queen sometimes goes around. What I didn't get out of this scene was, what I didn't understand was, these people are obviously slaves because they're locked up in a cage before they go fight. How is Daenerys not questioning these men's, like, if they're free men, they should all just be hanging out in, like, the dugout,
that's
waiting for their
point.
Turn to fight, but they're locked up.
Well, then you also had Tyrion. This is not a but, that's a... Yes, and also, Tyrion had his whole thing where, like, oh, you know, Marine's free now. If you want us to fight, you know, you should probably make us free men with a wage. And he smacks him in the head, bastard, and gives him the money and says, this will probably last you the end of your life. So he said the same thing, which is, what, you know, or probably shouldn't put slaves in the fighting pen since Marine's a free country. Or country.
Free country.
You know.
It's a free place.
It's a free place. It's a free imaginary city.
So there we are. Tyrion is the gift. And this has not happened in the book, so my mind was blown.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea what's happening anymore. I don't know anything.
Are you okay with that?
Yes, I'm loving it. This is great. It's a totally different thing, and I'm ready for this journey. I know.
Because you may never get the rest of your tale if you're waiting for the books.
So we're told we're running out of time, but we still have King's Landing to get to, and I'm hoping we have a little extra time like we were told, but we're going to keep on going for you guys. We're going to find out about that, so we're going to do that. And we're going to head to King's Landing. It starts off with the Queen of Thorns talking to the High Sparrow, or the High Septon. Or the whatever your name is. We have this war of words between the two, and the Queen of Thorns is not coming out on top these days.
No.
I don't even know if we can call her the Queen of Thorns in this scene. He introduces her as, oh, some call you the Queen of Thorns, and then repeatedly refers to her as Lady Olenna.
Yeah.
He strips her of that title and brings her right down to being Olenna. Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, besides the wonderful remark about their hips and knees being old, which I thought was going to be a bonding moment.
Yes, I agree with that.
I thought this conversation was really, really entertaining. Although the whole time I was kind of pounding my head like down, being like, why are you not throwing Cersei in the dirt? Why are you not?
It was so funny because I'm sitting next to Sarah and she would go,
yeah. There we go.
But it's like, she's freaking out.
It's because she didn't have any ammunition. There's her word, and there's the word of what, but she didn't have any facts. Nothing is what the problem was. And we find out later in a scene between her and Littlefinger, that Littlefinger has the facts, has the proof that the Queen of Thorns needs to throw Cersei under the bus in the form of Lancel Lannister, which is fantastic for everybody.
Which I also liked, though, that he admitted being the one who gave Cersei Oliver.
Yes. Littlefinger's interesting, and Ryan, you're a big fan, but he just...
He's my favorite.
There you go.
That wasn't quite it.
He's honest. Like, he tells... He has to worm and weasel his way through and using lies and stuff, but during certain times, he's honest about the fact that he lies, and then he tells truths, and then he has to tell things. So he's just this conundrum of truth and lies at different times for different measures.
He's the best.
I think Sansa was her best with Littlefinger. I think he's just my favorite. But I wanted to ask you guys, remember how he was alluding to the gift that he gave Cersei, and he was there to discuss the same gift that he was going to give to Lady Olenna? Was that Robin he was talking about?
Oliver.
I'm with him. I think it's ambiguous.
That's a good point.
I think we're led to believe that it could be a gift for both of them, but what it makes it sound like is they also could just be another male of some significance. I don't think it's concrete in that it who it is.
That's a good point.
That I agree with.
Interesting.
The gift is a handsome young man, which I mean, the things that were called gifts were Tyrion and the handsome young man. It's Christmas. All of my favorite things. But
bring back Gendry.
I know, the boat of lost plot lines.
So we have a bit of Cersei and Tommen. They have a little exchange where Tommen is thankfully very angry about the whole situation and would like to do something about it, but once again gets talked out of doing anything by his mom. So, unfortunately.
I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but now that she's not going to be in his ear, I mean, do you guys think that he will unleash that army on the military, of the faith militant? Because she's not going to be in his ear anymore.
I'm sorry, can I just say something?
Yeah.
This faith militant, I've only seen them carry maybe like a chain and like maybe like a big stick. You know, like, how are these guys taking down the royal family? Like, where's the Kingsguard? You know, where's the gold cloaks? And why are they just letting this group of guys in robes and with a sharp stick maybe snatch up kings and queens?
Up until now, they were under the protection basically of Cersei. Mm-hmm. I mean, up
and, and that's why her arrest had to happen without her leaving that room. If she had gotten away, she would have drawn up some sort of army or force to fight. But she was captured right there.
Because up until now, it is under the pretense that it is in the name of the Seven and it is an honorable arrest. And that no one is exempt because that is the law of the land there. So up until now, the reason I don't think anyone has gone after them is because the only person who really has said anything is Tommen, because he's pissed, obviously. But to the outside world, there's no... I mean, it's all being done very respectably. Does that make sense? Am I speaking English?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
I felt like I jumped. But what I'm trying to say is, now that Cersei has been imprisoned, I think that it might change... Well, it will change the ball game, but I think that it's less... because they're not under her protection, it's more up in the air.
Right, but you know that Cersei showed up to that place with some Kingsguard, and when she doesn't leave that building, what are they supposed to... Are they just going to be like, oh, I guess she's
staying? Well, that's the point, you know? Right there. They don't know what to do because they don't have orders from her.
Yeah, and also...
That's the point. Like if they have orders, yeah, they'll go and fight them, but if they don't have orders, then they can't...
Yeah.
Like, they can't just start a war, just a couple soldiers, like, hey, let's start this war. Let's
Especially
start this fight.
Since, as of right now, it's all under legitimate trial. Like, none of this is just arresting people without a warrant. I mean, I don't literally mean an actual warrant, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Up until now, it's been let... We know the ins and outs of how malicious this is and how manipulative it is, but to the guards, it's just people being arrested for breaking the law of the Seven, which technically they all have. So I'm not defending this, except with Cersei, because she needs to go down.
It was nice to see her, you know, go and sort of witness Marjorie's conditions and then be put in the same position. But I feel like, is the Queen of Thorns now going to be whispering in Tommen's ear and sort of... I feel like she's also against the High Sparrow and the militant Faith Militant, so I feel like we have no other choice but to have a war at this point. I think Tommen will order a war, and I think that although Cersei has done all this to protect Tommen, I think he will go down in this war.
But there is... It doesn't... There is another choice. The Mother's Mercy. Which does get mentioned in this episode.
Good point.
But there is some level of forgiveness that no one has utilized yet. Mm. No one has apologized. No one has admitted their guilt. Except for Lancel Lannister. Who we have known told all of his quote-unquote sins and became part of this Faith Militant. So there is a level of mercy that this religion gives and a punishment for whatever the level of this, their crimes or sin were. Right. And we haven't seen that happen yet. So
where do we think
the choice.
Where do we think incest lies on that? Well, here's the thing is, even if it isn't very high on the like list of crimes that will get you killed in the eyes of the Seven, it does dethrone the king because he's a bastard. And that, I'm so excited to see what goes down. Because if, for example, she confesses to get the Mother Mercy, I don't know if she will, because that ruins her dynasty and her legacy and dethrones her child. Like, it gets rid of the Lannister legitimate crown.
And that's the whole speech we got today about she would do anything for him. So that's the justification why she wouldn't be able to admit that.
Ooh, she dug her own grave on this one.
Ooh, what about Jamie? Jamie's gonna come back.
You were talking about predictions, so why don't we go into that?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I also just want to throw it out there, right as we go into these predictions, is that Cersei's last line as she was leaving was, "I am the queen," over and over again, and I think it was supposed to make me feel like pity or something, but it just made me laugh. Because I was just like,
no, you're not.
No, you're not.
Well, also, that's what Marjorie was yelling. That was the last thing she said while she was arrested. It was, "I am the queen."
And we do get in this episode that titles apparently mean nothing, and that the only thing that was simple and good left was not signed, the artist of, you know, the Septon, whoever built that, they didn't sign their name. So it's not like the titles that remain. It's sort of like their legacy of what they built. But I think that, to move on, I think that Peter Baelish, once he returns and sees Sansa, I don't feel like he's going to be okay with all her bruises.
No.
And I feel like he's going to react.
I can he get there before the battle that Sansa
has? I don't think so.
I think there's going to be a war going on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be okay with Sansa's bruises if one Sansa's still alive, which I'm not predicting that she goes down. I'm not. But there, I definitely think there's going to be shit going down on a larger scale.
I mean, I don't think that he's going to be the one who rescues her, but I just am sort of anxious to kind of see his reaction, because I think that he said to her that she would be okay, and that's obviously not the case. So is she going to take it out on him when they eventually do come together?
Oh,
I don't know.
Man.
Sansa's going to hurt someone next episode.
I'm hoping many people.
Ryan, what's up? What do they say?
I was just going to, you know, some quick prediction questions, just to help guide predictions. Who wants to floor it? Sansa kill Ramsay?
Yes.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
This is just my wants.
There you go.
Where is Lady Stoneheart?
Oh, gone. She's not in the show.
Okay. Well, I didn't know who that was. I don't know who that is either.
She's not in the show.
I would like to ask you guys, what do you think is going to happen to Jorah? Because we saw in the
preview, I don't know what's happening.
She's like, I got to keep my word.
I think that Jorah is going to be locked up. But Tyrion is such a good politician. I think that he will talk to Dany and sort of get her to come to reason with Jorah.
I think Jorah is going to become part of the tradition of the Fighting Pits, and his sentence from Dany is not going to be to die, but to make it through these Fighting Pits, and if fate would have it that he can make it through, he will be able to
come back into her presence.
A trial by Fighting Pit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Yes.
Nice.
I like it.
Plus it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It is entertaining. I would like to see... You know what? I'm going to blend those two. It's very possible that Tyrion convinces her to do this. Because he is such a smooth talker, isn't he? He's fabulous.
Do you think he has her ear, though?
All right,
no.
Ryan, what's up?
Where is Varys?
He's still in the whorehouse.
He found a new part of himself.
He's a gift we haven't yet got.
I don't know.
Is waking up right now going,
but awesome.
Where's the...
There we
Tyrion.
Go. Well, there we have it, guys. Your episode recap for The Gift, episode 7 of season 5 of Game of Thrones. Thank you so much for watching this episode. You can, if you're listening to us, you can on iTunes, make sure to rate and leave a comment on YouTube, leave a comment on the website, do all this stuff. It's awesome. Thank you so much. My name's Kyle Maddock. You can find me at Mad Canard anywhere online.
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, and you can follow me at Cinematic Escape, or you can check out my blog, cinematicescape.com.
Yeah, go check out Kristen's blog. I'm Sarah, and I don't have any of those things. But thanks for tuning in to our show.
And I am Autumn Chiklis. You can find me on Twitter or on Instagram and or both at Autumn Chiklis.
And I'm Ryan Malady. You can find me on your favorite social media platform at Ryan Malady.
Ow,
it was funny plugging myself.
I love it. I love it.
Bella Margulis.
There you go.
Bye, guys.
Skips.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.